We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Oh, everybody's welcome.
All right.
Including cool. Our friend, Mr. Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. Greenberg, what up?
Hey, how's it going?
Jeff decided that it's Go-Go Thursday, and I told him that you like to have Metallica as your play-in, but since you're on Thursday instead of Wednesday, you kind of just had to roll with it, dude. I hope that's all right.
That's okay. I'm okay with it. We're all working without a net today.
That's true. Two stories I need to tell you. I relayed your appreciation of Mr. C last week to Rosenberg, and he appreciated your appreciation. And two,
I know I heard. I like that.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed that. Brian, here's a story for you. Mm-hmm. I was in Philly Tuesday night for the Caps must-win game, and I texted Greenberg before the game, who do you like tonight? And he said, you know, I think the Caps win this thing. He said, it's not a big bet, but I parlayed a Caps win with an Ovechkin goal. And sure enough, what the hell happened? A Caps win and an Ovechkin goal. So, listen to the man is all I can tell you. Let's talk Caps, man.
Yeah, I mean, they're in, right? I mean, like, that's the first part of it all. They get a tough matchup in the Rangers. They're obviously underdogs. I know a lot of people are talking about the goal differential, and that's certainly true.
Let's dive into that because... Yeah. I think it's junk, frankly. Now, they finished the season with a minus 37 goal differential that is the worst for a playoff team ever. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
But how much of that was Kemper?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, how much of that was Ovechkin's unluckiness, you know, in the beginning, if that's a word? You know, there's a lot that goes into goal scoring. There's been a lot of studies out there. Some think that the luck to skill ratio for a scoring goal is like 70-30, meaning it's 70% luck, 30% skill. So when you're talking about goal differential, you know, overall, yes, it is a great barometer of how good a team is. Am I really worried about it? No. But you know, you're still dealing with an 8 seed versus a 1 seed. So of course the 8 seed is going to be the underdog. You know, we can quibble about how much of an underdog they are. But we should also talk about how lucky the Rangers have been this year. I mean, they won 55 games. There are teams with better goal differentials that won less. So they certainly have their own, you know, luck that they've been riding. If that dries up, who knows what we're talking about. This is a David and Goliath matchup as an 8 versus 1, but... You know, we've seen some 8s win over the past couple of years, and, you know, it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility. But, you know, in this particular instance, I personally am not worried about the goal differential. I'd be more worried about the goaltending and do the young kids keep scoring the way they have to keep, you know, Washington season alive.
It's true because early on you were talking about the Ovi puck luck thing. I interrupted you like I did.
Go ahead. You did often.
So, I do remember, and I'll be honest that early on, I thought Ovi just maybe didn't have it all. And you were like, nah, if you look at the advanced metrics, your metrics came to play with the Washington Capitals. Are we able to crunch the numbers? Because Grant texted me, he thinks it's a plus 6 with Lindgren in versus whatever that would make it, like minus 100 with Kemper in. Are we able to crunch those numbers? Is that a little unfair because of, like, time of game? Like, if somebody's coming in to clean something up versus starts, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I will tell you that Lindgren is about 11 goals saved, better than an average goaltender. You know, Kemper is 12 worse.
Wow.
So, you know, there is a big difference between the two. You got a quality start from Lindgren 60% of the time. You know, Darcy only gave it 47% of the time. I mean, there's definite differences between the two. And, you know, if Lindgren's going to be your guy going forward, obviously, you know, the early games don't have as much of an impact. And, you know, so it's really tough. This is, you know, this is the tough part of analysis, you know, trying to figure out what's signal and what's noise and, you know, what's the true team talent level and, you know, all that stuff. And I mean, this is an inexact science. So, you know, I personally give the Caps like a 30 to 35% chance to win the series. The betting markets are at 20%. So am I more bullish than most? Probably. But, you know, it's still a big, you know, it's still a big hill to climb. And it's going to come down to a lot of little things, right? Puck bounces being one of them. So, you know, if you like the Caps, there are certainly reasons to back them in this series at the very least to say, you know what, the betting markets are probably a little bit lower than what they should be.
What do they need to do to get this, I mean, to take this this series?
Well, they, you know, it starts with Lindgren. I mean, the Rangers can score. I mean, they have a lot of offense at their disposal. They're a great scoring team. They're a well-coached team. They just have a lot of, you know, a lot of players that can score both on off, you know, at, among the forwards and among the defense. So, you know, it's not a cliche to say goaltending has to be good because you're in a seven game series, you know, where you have to win four games. I mean, the bad goals are magnified almost, right? Like if you let softies in, you know, it becomes a much bigger deal. So I would say first and foremost, they still need to have really strong net minding from, you know, in the crease. And then, you know, everything has to keep going the way that it's going, right? I mean, Ovechkin still has to be able to produce. They have to have, you know, the young kids continue to contribute. There can't be any, you know, there can't be any periods off. And we've certainly seen that from this team, you know, throughout the course of the season. You know, it's all hands on deck and, you know, everything gets magnified. All the little mistakes become big mistakes because, you know, you only have a certain amount of games to get things right.
Absolutely. Talking with Neil Greenberg here on the BetQL guest line. Greenberg joins us every week, sports writer and stats geek for the Washington Post. You can follow him on the Xbox at N Greenberg. Is there one person, player, et cetera, you expect? If the Caps are going to pull this off, we know Lindgren, we know Ovi, Oshie. Like, who's a dude that has to have the series of their life?
I mean, you know, you want Dylan Strome to keep going, obviously. You know, you want Tom Wilson to be as big of a pest as he possibly could be without getting suspended.
I want him to throw that dude on the ground again.
you know, you need John Carlson to keep being as dependable as he's been. You know, there's just a lot of things that need to go right. But I think Alex Ovechkin can't be the only offense, right? Like that just won't work, especially not against a team like the Rangers. So you need Strome, you need Carmichael, you know, you need Connor McMichael, you need, you know, all these younger kids, these younger guys to help without any drop off from, you know, the Oshies and Ovechkins that are out there. So yeah, I would say pick any one of the young guys to keep it going because, you know, they need scoring, obviously.
Now, doesn't, like, kind of the way they've won lately where there's not a lot of scoring and they're blocking a bunch of shots, doesn't playoff hockey kind of start to lend itself towards that anyway?
You would think so, but in theory, no, because good teams beat other teams by a lot, not by a little. So when you have these you know, one-goal games, they inflate the record, right? I mean, you're not asserting your dominance over another team, and that's what good teams do. That's why goal differential is important. Like, running up the score, being able to dominate your opponent is indicative of being a really solid team. Like, you look at all the, you know, the championship teams and over the course of history in any sport, and they're teams that dominated. You know, every once in a while, you're going to have, like, you know, the New York Giants beating the Patriots that are looking for the perfect season. But, you know, when you look at them as a group, you know, they're teams that are very much in the top tier of beating up their opponents. So, I don't buy into the battle-tested mentality. We've seen that flame out in all sports time and time again. This just has to be a matchup where the Capitals can come out ahead. I mean, that's all there is to it, and it's going to be tough. I mean, it's definitely going to be tough, but you know, you look at over the past couple of years, especially with these 8 seeds beating the number 1 seeds, it's because hockey is as fluky as it is that's, you know, able to be possible. And I'm not taking anything away from the teams that are scrappy as the 8 seeds and win it, but you know, you do need a lot of puck luck to go your way in order to pull off things like this.
Like the differences in Ovi early and Ovi late, was it anything that you saw that was making that happen? I know you say he has some unlucky moments and things like that, but it just seems like night and day.
Yeah, I mean, some people are saying it's his hockey stick. You know, he had trouble getting some of his hockey sticks early on, I believe. You know,
What do you mean, like back from Russia or something?
I'm sorry, say again?
Like getting his hockey sticks from where? Like supply chain? What are we talking about?
Yeah, I mean, there was, you know, he got some, like, new sticks, and I think that there was, some issue with them or something. You know, so, I mean, that's certainly something that could hamper it a little bit. But, again, I mean, you know, you're talking about one of the best goal scorers in the game ever, and, you know, he still only takes, what, 4 or 5 shots on net per game? You know, And that's what people don't like really understand. Like even if he had, you know, like an 80% chance to score, you know, there's still gonna be games where he goes 0-for-3, and it's just like, you know, I tell people it's just like flipping a coin, right? Like there's a 50-50% chance to get heads, but if you flip the coin 3 or 4 times and they're all tails, like you don't think the coin is busted, you don't think the coin is bad, you just say, well, that's just the way it goes sometimes. Well, this is the same thing with hockey, but instead of there being a 50-50 chance, there's like a 15% chance. So to go 0-for-3 on a given night is not, you know, is not out of the ordinary, and to see these type of slumps is not out of the ordinary. That's why I think it's instructive to look at, you know, well, what would we have expected from them, right? Like I talked about Austin Matthews last night going for goal number 70. You know, he had 12 shots on net, and you think that that's a lot. But after you see, you know, where they originated, the angle, were they on the power play, et cetera, he was only expected to score, like, 1 goal. So the fact that he didn't is not, you know, really that far-fetched, even with 12 shots on net. So that's just the way hockey goes sometimes, and, you know, that's part of the sport.
Give me some guys to hate on the Rangers.
All of them.
Yeah, I mean that's certainly the going sentiment. I get that. You know, Adam Fox is probably going to be a pain, you know, for Caps fans. Obviously Panarin.
You know, you have going through the wall again, Willie.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. Like, can you neutralize the guys that you know, are able to really make a difference? I mean, you know, you'll get Panarin and Kreider, you know, over the age of 30, you know, getting to almost the 40 and 50 goal plateau. I mean, that's significant. Then you have the young guy, you know, chipping in 28. You know, that's going to be tough. But the guy that you're probably going to want to hate the most is, you know, the goaltender that's probably going to be able to make some nifty saves.
Yeah, I hate that guy in advance. All right, so Cap's got a shot. We're going to hate them all. Is there something like that we're not examining? Dude, real quick, Carberry. I think the Cap's found something in this dude. Like,
certainly seems like it. I mean, he pushed all the right buttons this year, that's for sure. I mean, you look at, you know, where they were, and, you know, especially what they were doing at the trade deadline. You know, this team wasn't supposed to be competitive preseason based on the betting markets. Like, the overall sentiment was, you know, they were going to be good maybe as the high side. Then they start to, you know, they lose key players, starting with Nicholas Backstrom. You know, they trade away Kuznetsov. They're obviously in, like, they have 1 foot in rebuild, 1 foot in contention, and almost, that almost never works. But, you know, then things just started happening. And, you know, yes, a lot of it has to do with Ovechkin, you know, getting back to what he was doing, 15-goal pace at one point, like around game 40, ends up with 30 goals. I mean, that's a massive, massive pace for where he was. But again, I mean, you know, Carberry pushed all the right buttons, made changes in net, you know, kept the lineup together, moved stuff around. I don't know how much Jack Adams love he's going to get as the best coach of the year, but I think he certainly deserves to be in,
like
in the conversation based on expectations
should.
And where they ended up.
Yeah, I agree with you, dude. I know, I remember seeing a Buchigross tweet that they should, that if Carberry gets in, he should be coach of the year. I mean, one of the knocks against the Caps, like, in the Ovi era is that they just paired him up with, like, kind of cheap, bad coaches. I think they found one in this dude. He doesn't strike – this doesn't seem like Dale Hunter or something. You know what I mean?
No, he certainly seems to be able to maximize the assets on his roster. I think that was pretty evident this year. Yeah, I mean, I hate to make a decision based on just one season, but
yeah,
you know, the early returns are definitely optimistic. And, you know, just the fact, you know, there was a lot of talk even earlier in the season, like, should Ovechkin even be on the power play? We had this conversation. I think we even had this conversation privately. You know, like, you look at a coach and you look at, you know, how he kind of was the steward of this team. I think, you know, I think he did a lot. And, you know, who knows? We could be talking about a minus 50 goal differential had, you know, he not have made some of the moves that he did. And, you know, we're talking about what they're going to do in the draft and what the outlook is for next year.
All right, we can go quickly on this. Are you glad we didn't ask you a single NFL draft question?
I wouldn't say I'm glad. I mean, I don't know anything, so I don't know how much I could add to the discourse. Only
who's
going to
be the first long snapper drafted?
I would always have to put my bet on the Raiders because you never know what they're going to do in any draft. They're
will a team trade up for a long snapper?
Right, yeah. Yeah, forget Caleb Williams.
Will they get a big kicker?
Yeah, don't draft a kicker.
What do you make of Emojigate and liked Tweetgate?
About the Topgolf?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. I think Greenberg doesn't know what we're talking about. And
yeah,
I
don't know. What's going on? What did I miss?
Nothing.
You didn't miss anything, Greenberg.
I can talk about nothing.
Lord knows we can. You got any winners for me, most importantly? I like to wager on sports.
I think the Winnipeg Jets are undervalued in this hockey playoff situation we got going on. I think they beat Colorado, and I like their price to win the cup at 20-1.
Ooh, all right. 21, get you rich. I could use some winners. Masters went poorly for me personally. Luckily, Bees saved the day. Greenberg, thank you as always, man. I'm really excited for these Caps games.
I think a lot of people are. I mean, they're well-earned, so enjoy them.
We know Sunday, 3 o'clock. They haven't announced anything beyond that. Do you have any inside information?
I have nothing. I would direct all questions to Bailey, our beat reporter.
I actually looked that up today,
and I didn't see anything.
Yeah, we talked.
We had Bailey on. Right? She was terrific. Yeah.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Normally, though, hockey playoffs are really. It's not like the NBA where they space games out in weird increments. Like usually, hockey's every 2 days, right?
No, basketball leaves enough time for you to take like 2 vacations.
I know,
which is a long time.
Is that a vacation joke?
Yeah,
bro,
you are on vacation.
JP,
a lot,
what be
bro.
Doing? Well, you'll be taking some.
No, I think he means landfill because landfill's on vacation.
No, I meet one JP Finley. I was on the show like 4 weeks in a row, and you were on vacation.
Well, if you all must know, I actually just canceled a golf trip that I was supposed to go on. Remember, I was going to
run out sometime.
Hey, Greenberg, don't worry. He'll make it into something else.
There'll be another one. There'll be another one. All right, Greenberg. Thanks, buddy.
I love you guys.
All right, bro.
Bye.
That's Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. You can follow him at N Greenberg. Let's move forward, Jeff, if you will, from Emojigate. And let's talk about some non-Emojigate, non-Topgolf related questions we got for Adam Peters today. He speaks to the media at 2 o'clock.
Yay. We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Beavers and Finley Show is brought to you by Rood HVAC Equipment. Head over to Rood.com to find a contractor near you and available tax credits and rebates. That's R-U-U-D. And remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right. Adam Peters is going to be talking a little bit later on today, I think around 2 o'clock. But as JP stated earlier, don't expect to hear much. And I wouldn't expect him to say anything. You know, they should never say anything because get too many people out here saying what they thought was right and wrong. I don't want to hear anybody trying to go around patting their chest, tapping themselves on the back.
Yeah, so we can go around the room. I'll let Jeff's on fire today. We can let Jeff start. No emojis allowed. No emoji talk. What's a question you would have for Adam Peters?
Oh, man. What would a question I have for Adam Peters be? And all on one point, on every move.
May I answer that?
I was about to say, it's a magical answer. I just would want to hear it.
It's not magical. You win games. You win games. Everybody's back, baby. That's not that complicated, right? How do you get everybody on board, B? You win.
You win.
If the quarterback's good, let me tell you this. Whoever it is, and I want to shout this dude out because he tweeted it. He was clearly excited. We talked about him. What was the dude's handle, B? Drake May MVP?
Something like that.
If Drake May MVP, I'm guessing that dude wants him to take Drake May at number two. Play a hunch. If they take... And let's try to expand our horizons from the May Daniels debate. Let's say they take Bo Nix. They trade back to 20th and take Bo Nix. And Bo Nix comes here and balls out. And they go 11-6 and win a wild card game. Mm-hmm. Drake May MVP is going to become Adam Peters the GOAT.
Or maybe become Bo Nix the man.
Or Dan Quinn is my dude. Like. Yeah.
Listen, man.
If they win games, people are going to be cool.
It changes everything. Like for me, though, what I would ask Adam is like, man, you came along, things were going great. Did you know this fan base was this damn crazy? did you know how insane this fan base was? And he'll probably say, well, all of them are like that.
I know that previous administrations, Rivera, some people involved in the Bruce era, but not Bruce, to his credit. Bruce didn't give a rip what was being said about social media or anything else.
He did.
There were a couple things he cared about, but in general, he got dunked on and didn't care. I don't think Adam Peters, I certainly don't think he has Twitter. He just strikes me as a dude that completely ignores the noise. Don't you think?
Peters?
Yeah.
I think he does. But I think, listen, man, if you have anybody from 10 to 25 in your family that you ever talk to, you know what they're saying.
Well, the difference, this to me stood out in a big way. Peters, when we were in Florida, when we were in Orlando, I got to talk to Adam. He explained that he hadn't seen his family since he first got the job. If you remember, his wife and daughters came with him for the introductory press conference. That was in January. This was late March. We were in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And he hadn't seen his wife and children in probably about 2 months, roughly. And he said, all I do is, he hadn't even moved into a house. Found a house. His wife was coming to get them into a house. He was staying in those little hotels right around the corner. And he's like, I go to work and I work until I fall asleep. Then I go to the hotel and I come back the next morning and I work until I fall asleep. Like, this dude is a grinder.
He's a grinder, but you know what, though? Grinders tell you what they do, but they don't admit that. You know, I do creep on the TV every once in a while to see what's being said.
Sure. And it doesn't, and it's entirely possible other people on the staff still do.
It doesn't. make a difference to him because he understands the process. He's going to do what he needs to do and keep moving forward.
The other thing I want to say about Emoji Gate and those with big opinions on it, I know this from a lot of different agents that I know and speak to, that Peter's reputation in the agent world is of the highest caliber. You know how it might be standing. I think it's The Athletic put out the anonymous surveys of NFL agents and what organizations they trust, what organizations they don't. Like, now with Peters running the show, the Commanders will rank very high on that list. I'm going to see if I can find that because I bet the Niners ranked high on that list. NFL agent survey. I'll try to find that in the break. Toby, do you have a question for old Adam Peters?
Yeah, it's not Daniels May specific, but quarterback philosophy in general. How do you weigh a higher ceiling, lower floor versus maybe a more safe quarterback that maybe doesn't have the top tier ceiling? How do you, when you're making that decision, you know, especially this year drafting at number two, how do you weigh the pros and cons of drafting a guy that definitely could bust but could turn into a top five guy versus just making sure you take the safe guy that maybe doesn't have as high a ceiling?
Fair question. And I think you could, that could be not quarterback too. That could be any position, frankly. I also have to ask, though, like my rebuttal to you, not as Adam Peters, but just as me. I think you are this is like a widely held theory or concept, I guess, that you're saying Daniels is the safe guy but doesn't have as high of a ceiling as Drake May.
I mean, that's how it's kind of viewed. I think either one has a very high ceiling.
I don't know that I view that the same. And I guess the viewpoint is we haven't seen Drake at his best yet, right? Like, we think he can grow into it, whereas what we've seen from Daniels is probably his best. I agree.
What if he has more?
I agree that we haven't seen Drake at his best, but it's entirely possible. Like, Daniels is better. Because you know who's, like, Mahomes has gotten better. I don't know. Lamar has gotten better. It's entirely possible Stroud gets better. Josh Allen got significantly better. It's just an interesting concept to me that we think, all right, you're drafting Drake for the upside, but we just know what Daniels is. And is that because he's 23? I hardly think 23 is a complete product.
I was still learning and getting better at 30. So I don't know if you could just look at a person.
Jared Goff got better at what, 28?
Well, and I think this can, you know, go with it too. Like, people wanted to trade back. That's kind of died down now. But, you know, earlier on in the process, if people wanted to trade down, the safest guy maybe in the draft is Bo Nix, just because of the amount of football he's played. And I think he looked like a pro-style quarterback. Not saying that that's who they're going to take, but is that something that you consider if you're just saying, I don't necessarily want to swing for the fences and possibly strike out. I'd rather just make sure I get a guy that I know I can count on.
I think if you look at Bo Nix, you look at 30 passes he throw in a game, he'll throw 20 of them at the line of scrimmage. That's not pro style. That's track team that's going to run past you.
Let's continue this discussion when we return. John Keim joins us at noon. Appropriately played after a big Nats win. Nats taking a series against the Dodgers. How big of a deal was that, Toby?
Big time. I mean, you've got Irvin pitching six scoreless. He's supposed to be just like a fifth starter. You got a dude making his debut. You win those two starts. Sandwiched in between is your $30 million pitcher throwing a dud in Patrick Corbin. But the rest, not so bad.
Not so bad. I think it's exciting, man. I think there's a lot to enjoy here with the Nats playing better baseball than really anybody expected. I did want to circle back to that conversation. There is this, like, working, I don't know, man. The draft is just so consuming that there's this theory of, I don't disagree with your drafting. Like, the NBA draft is all upside, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you were drafting the dude that played the best this past year, you're probably taking Zach Edey. And I bet that dude doesn't go top 10. Mm-hmm.
He might.
You're taking upside in the NBA. Yeah, you see that all the time. And I think in the NFL, Sometimes you see that. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes there are guys that are like, let's talk about Joe Burrow. Consensus number one. There was never a doubt. When Joe Burrow had that season at LSU, that was by far, I mean, it was legitimately the greatest quarterbacking season LSU's ever had. That is legitimately one of the greatest offenses college football's ever seen.
Yep.
But nobody was taking Burrow think, oh, man, this guy can't keep getting better. You know what I mean? Like, he had achieved at an incredibly high level, but people still thought he would get better. Trevor Lawrence at Clemson.
Yep, exactly. The thing about it, when some guys can show you that they're better earlier, but they still grow. Hell, Tom Brady was growing when he was damn near 40. You know what I mean? So I don't know why we think that just because a guy is good now, he's not going to get better. And then again, the guy that you say has upside, do you know what that upside is? Suppose his upside is not better than what he was when what somebody else was in college.
Listen, man, I think there is so much to like about Drake May. I think there is so much to like about Jaden Daniels. I find it hard to believe that anyone can have any sort of definitive, this is the guy, this isn't the guy. If you like May and you want to point to, I think he could grow into Justin Herbert. Awesome. Awesome. I could see that. Like, I understand that. I think if you have reservations about May because he misses the easy stuff, I can see that. I understand that. Maybe that's the easy stuff to improve. If you look at Jaden Daniels and you see someone that can extend plays and buy time, I see that. If you look at Jaden Daniels and you look at the sacks, and especially from two seasons ago, I see that too.
But there's
a million things you could look and see.
This is the question, though. Like, when you tell me about sacks two seasons ago, and you ignore the sacks lowered the second year, that's getting better. That's just somebody that just don't like the guy.
I agree. For me, the sack stuff needs to be viewed through a prism of how much he improved year after year. He cut him in half this past year.
Yeah.
And I just feel like he can continue to improve. And that's an important part of the discussion. I guess if I had to zero in on one thing, I don't know who they're going to draft. I'm sure they have a real lean, but I don't think they've established anything as far as who it is. I believe that. But if, like, if we get to draft day and you're not allowed to acknowledge that one or both of these guys has improved dramatically, I just want the discourse to be honest. I don't know how we can say, I like Drake because he could really become something great. So could Daniels. So could J.J. McCarthy. Michael, the ironic thing in all of this to me is, outside of Caleb Williams, who's viewed as like this unicorn top prospect, and I was actually watching, I think it's Benjamin Solak from The Ringer, put out a series of like clips and highlights of Caleb Williams. He's like, man, I think it's time for a reminder of how good Caleb Williams is. Because what tends to happen in this process is like, he's so forgotten and that it's going to Chicago and blah, blah, blah. And then, dude, his final year at USC wasn't like as good as the sophomore year.
Yeah.
But the kid is outrageously good at football. And I think it's a good time to remind ourselves that.
Yeah, but I think everybody just, the reason with him is they know where he's going, so there's no need to dissect it.
Right.
I think if it was Jaden or Drake going first, then we'll have this confusion with the rest of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just what people do.
There is some level of, it's still bizarre that arguably Michael Penix is the best passer in the draft, and he might go after all of them.
If that dude didn't have two knee injuries, we would have a different discussion.
Right. Totally. Here's what we're going to have as far as the discussion. John Keim joins the program next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.